As disciples of Jesus Christ, a question that we ask ourselves is this: what is our responsibility to give aid to other people? When we recognize that someone is in need, how far are we expected to go to help them? When are we called upon to interrupt our lives to reach out in assistance and compassion? Now, the scriptures are clear on this, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we are indeed to love one another, that we are to treat one another well, treat our neighbors as well we would expect them to treat us, to love our neighbors. However, are we always on duty, or do we get some time off? Can we ever just clock out of caring? Our reading for today is found in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. John begins his Gospel with the famous prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And then he introduces to us John the Baptist, and he tells of Jesus' own baptism in the river. And then immediately after that, Jesus calls his disciples to follow him. That all takes place in chapter 1. Chapter 2 begins with Jesus attending a wedding in the town of Cana. Cana is in Galilee. Jesus' mother is there at the wedding as well. His disciples are there too. They all had been invited. At some point, the wedding runs out of wine. Jesus' mother informs her son of this, telling him they have no wine. Now, there's so much about this wedding that we don't know. Who were the bride and groom? Were they family? Were they friends? Why was Jesus invited? Why was Jesus' mother so concerned that wine had run out? There are plenty of questions here, but precious few answers. In that culture, a wedding was a significant event. The wedding feast would have lasted for several days, sometimes even a week. Wine as a beverage was central to the event. It would be the lifeblood of the celebration. To run out of wine at a wedding would have been a tragedy. If there was no wine, then people were likely to leave and head on home. Running out of wine effectively signaled the death of the party. When Mary informs Jesus that the wine has run dry, his question to her is, "What concern is that to you and to me?" It sounds rather harsh, but he does have a point. After all, they're just merely guests at the party. They're bystanders. They're not responsible for the supplies. We can all appreciate his question to his mother. What Jesus says after that, however, is a bit more problematic. He states, "My hour has not yet come." We have no idea what he means by this. His hour? His hour for what? When will that hour arrive? What is he waiting for? It does sound as if there is some larger plan to reveal Jesus to the world. Maybe that's the hour. A politician goes on to a talk show, and the host asks, "Are you running for president?" And the politician answers, "It's not the time to talk about that." Well, why isn't it the time? If you're going to run, then say so. If you're not running, say so. Why all the song and dance? You are either running or you're not. Jesus is either Savior or he's not. The hour is not important, and it takes his mother to remind him of his responsibility. Typical of a mother. She ignores his protesting, and she instructs the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." At this wedding, there are six stone jars. And we are told that each of these jars could hold 20 or 30 gallons. To visualize this, think of a 55-gallon drum that's been cut in half. There are six of these half drums there. These jars were there. They were brought to the venue to be used for the Jewish rites of purification. This sounds elaborate, but really, these jars were present simply for the guests to have water for the ritual washing of hands before eating. This ritual was not for hygiene, but for the ritual of removing sins and guilt. I would imagine that the jars were brought in for this occasion. So, Jesus turns to the servants and he instructs them, "Fill the jars with water." And they do. And then he says, "Now, draw some out and take it to the chief steward." And they comply. Although they had topped off the vats with plain water, what they draw out is wine. The steward, whom I imagine to be the party planner for the wedding, the steward does not know the origin of this wine. And so when he tastes it, he is astonished. He then goes to the bridegroom and compliments the bridegroom, saying, "Every other party that I work, they bring out good wine first, and then they bring out, well, the less good wine later after everybody's had enough. But you've kept the good wine until now." We don't know how Jesus converted this water to wine. Have you ever wondered why this story is even included in John's gospel? Why is it in Scripture? It's rather superficial, isn't it? Running out of wine at a wedding is not the end of the world. No one's going to die. It wasn't an international incident. Wars would not be fought over a shortage of Chardonnay. So when Jesus' mother tells him to do something about it, why does he bother? Why is this of interest to us? It would have been important to the bride and the groom and their families. This could be a socially embarrassing moment. Running out of wine at a wedding is not the way that they would want their marriage to begin. It's not how they would want to start their new life together. Being embarrassed in front of their family and their friends and the whole town. This is a sort of faux pas that could haunt a family forever. So imagine this. Imagine that the couple has been married for a couple of years, they've settled into their life together, and they've been invited to the home of some friends for dinner. And while they're at the table eating and sharing, one of the guests at the table laughs and said, "Hey, I brought extra wine. Don't want to run out, you know, not like at your wedding." Or maybe they're at the local tavern and the bartender jokes, "Sorry, we ran out of wine. Only seems to happen when you show up." Or at the wine store, the cashier would say, "Are you sure you got enough there? Wink, wink. We know what happens." And then, well, then at school, whenever there's a book report due, their kids always seem to get assigned what? The Grapes of Wrath. Yes, that's the book. They always... Now, I joke, but there is a lot going on here. A wedding in Cana may not be important to the world, but it is important to those who are involved. We may not be able to love the entire world, but we can certainly love our neighbors. This story is not just about wine and weddings. It is indeed about much more. First of all, it is about abundance. When God is present in our world, life flows without ceasing. There is no scarcity of the things that God brings to us. Love, life, mercy, light, and more. God is the origin of all these things, and they are truly inexhaustible. At the wedding, Jesus brings an unending flow of wine, the lifeblood of the party. As disciples of Christ, we, as servants, we can bring an unending flow of compassion to those around us. We can serve. The story tells us something else as well. When Jesus comes into our world changes. And we're no longer saddled with the old wine. We can now drink from a new cup, wine that is better than good. It is the fine wine. But one more thing. Go back to those jars of water. These jars, as I said, they were brought in to be used for the purification ritual. And now all the guests had passed by them, probably for several days, using them, pouring the water over their hands in the ritual cleansing. And so what you have now is vats that are quite literally full of sin. They are vats of sin. And yet, Jesus takes these and uses them to make something new. He uses this sin to bring the finest wine into the world. Jesus takes the polluted, the unpure, the filthy, and he creates something that is fine. And that is us. And we can be thankful. Amen.